The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
As you know, with a new year sometimes comes a few changes. A change for us is that we will be taking a hiatus in several markets at the beginning of the new year. Denver, Atlanta, Portland, Little Rock, Orlando, and Tampa. At the start of 2023, we will not be broadcasting in these radio markets. However, if you are in those cities, you can still listen to What's Right, What's Left online at thewordcleveland.com. That's thewordcleveland.com. Cleveland, as you know, is our home market. We expect that this hiatus will be temporary, but we need to take a hiatus while we catch up on a few bills. We are a donor-supported ministry, so thank you to those of you who have been supporting us from those cities. And we look forward to getting back with you on the radio in those cities as soon as possible.
Alrighty, we are back. And Joe, I'm going to be... Are you there, Joe? Joe, are you there?
Yeah.
Joe. Okay, I can hear you now. Okay. Tonight we have on the board over there, I think we have both Craig and Kyle. You know, one of them's keeping the eye on the other out there. They're on the board tonight.
And hey, Pastor Ernie.
Yes. There you go. That's Kyle already. And so tonight that announcement was just made. I have been telling people we were going to have to make an announcement. Well, after the Bible study, I'm going to address that because there may be a way, with a miracle. If we can get a miracle, we can avoid that. If not, we will be going off Denver, Portland, Little Rock, Atlanta, Orlando, and Tampa. And so that's what I'm going to be addressing. But right now, we got to get right into our Bible study. And so remember the title of the message, Joe?
Can you tell Craig there? I was having some bad feedback, and apparently he's been working on it. Sounds good now.
Okay, very good. Yeah, you're coming in loud and clear now. Okay, so we're going to start tonight, Joe, in 1 Peter chapter 3. Read verse 1 and 2 and then pause.
Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may be without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear.
All right, so now Peter is saying here that wives need not to preach to their husbands, but that their conversation, and what that means, Joe, is their behavior, their behavior, the way they act, and submission to their husbands, that their unsaved husbands may be won over to the Lord by that. Now, today it seems to be a very hard thing in today's society for wives to obey their husbands. You know, I've heard it said that some husbands, well, you know, out there today, Joe, I've heard this said, you know, like right in our church, Doors of the Word, I've heard it said that some husbands, Joe, you won't believe this, actually have faults. What do you think?
Actually have faults? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yes, we have faults.
Yes, we. Anyhow, let's talk about this because, again, today, because of society, all of society, one of the worst things that's ever happened to this country is the feminist movement. And, you know, I sat and I watched an old documentary going back, all the way back into the 60s, Joe, and it was the Rockefeller, David Rockefeller, and they made a documentary talking about how they were going to break up the families by starting the feminist movement. And that's exactly what they did. They started a feminist movement, and they broke up so many families. And, you know, the second shortest verse in the Bible is God hates divorce. God hates divorce. And here today, things have taken a turn. And, in fact, right now, there's probably some feminists out there listening to me. And I had made a statement before about these smart aleck phones that you have today, these so-called smartphones, how these have been so responsible in so many ways of causing infidelity in the family. And it's affected, it seems to have affected women a lot more than men. And what I'm talking about that is it's given them an opportunity of freedom, an opportunity that they've never had before to cheat. Now, I talked about this once before, and I had some nerves because I got some feedback from some feminists that didn't like it. In other words, I hit a nerve there. But what's happening, and there's been studies done now. Remember, Joe, it used to be, and I'm just going to say, take a guess, a baby, back in the old days, probably there would be 90% of the time if one of the spouses left, it would be the man. The man would leave the family.
Right.
Today that's turned exactly around. The women now have turned that totally around. They're the ones, and a lot of it's got to do with these phones because they find it so much easier to cheat with these smart aleck phones. And not only that, but it's common for them to be able to send pictures, and actually a lot of housewives have actually gotten into the business of streaming online nudity and getting paid for it, okay, by using different names and different addresses and things like that. I don't know how that's done, but I've been listening to the reports come on. So today it's harder than ever. And let's go on. It says, who's adorning?
You've got to remember that whole sexual revolution came, a big part of it, from the Fabian socialists and the cultural Marxists that said to foment the communist revolution, we have to get rid of God, family, and then we can change the country. The family was the basic unit that held Western civilization together. And they said, how do you destroy the family? Sex.
Yep.
Was the simple answer, sexualize the people and you destroy the family, then you cripple a nation, and then you can take control.
He goes on in verse 3, who's adorning, let it not be outward adorning, plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, or let it be the hidden man of the heart in which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, a great price. Now, in other words, he's talking about being ladylike. Being lady. Today, especially with your young girls, I was seeing how in some of the high schools today, if a girl was a virgin, when you and I were in high school, probably at that time, probably at least 95% of the girls would be virgin, okay? Today it's turned around just the opposite. If a young girl is a virgin, she gets bullied by the other girls and mocked and laughed at often. This is why going back to remember back all the way back in the 70s, we were telling people, if you love your kids, get them out of the public school. If you love them, get them out. It wasn't that bad back in those days.
Again, the Fabian or the cultural Marxists with the Herbert Marcuse in his book Eros and Civilization, make love, not war. God is dead. If it feels good, do it. This again was the communists bringing about the flower revolution, the hippie generation, and the loose morals all came from the communists.
Okay, so we go to, he says, for after this manner, in the old time, the holy women, also who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And again, it seems to be, even among so-called Christian women, they have a really hard time, many of them today. I know I've done a lot of marriage counseling over the years, and it always seems the same thing. The husband usually says, she doesn't respect me, and the wife usually says, he doesn't love me. Well, you know, they have two different definitions, I guess, of what respect and love is. So he goes, he says, Abraham calling him Lord, whose daughters you are as long as you do well and are not afraid with amazement. Now, that word amazement there in the Greek means terror, with terror. If you're not afraid with terror. Now, Joe, here, remember when he talks about whose daughters you are, he was really writing this to the early church, which were made up almost entirely of converted Jews. And so he says, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. And so what he's referring to, in an understanding way, honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Well, he's telling you two things there. First of all, husbands are supposed to protect their wives. They were supposed to protect their wives. What would be some of the problems that they would have back in those days? If you were a woman, especially a young, pretty woman, but let's just say you were a woman, a single woman, like today they call it, like a single mother, and you had no husband, and you lived in an area where you had no husband or no brother or a father, a man to
protect you. You'd be soon taken, really be made a slave sooner or later.
Yeah,
you would
now
be somebody's slave or concubine.
Right, but if they were in a place where, say, they were surrounded by people or friends, or that they might have some safety, but if they weren't, this is why, remember, under the law of Moses, if a man was to die, his brother would need to take his wife and being young enough to raise up seed. Now, let's say if a man was to die and his wife, he left a wife and a young son, well, then his brother was to take that wife and also raise up and whatever the man that died left his family, that stayed with that wife and that son, okay? And so he didn't take it and share it with the rest of his wives, whatever. And so here, if he failed to do that, remember what they would go to the steps of the temple, and if he failed to do that, then she would bend down and untie his shoestrings and spit in his face, and he would be released from that. Okay, but he wouldn't be very highly honored amongst the people, would he?
No, he wouldn't. But one of the keys there, too, is in that verse 7, the husband giving honor unto the wife. The wife was to be treated honorably. That means gently, consideration with, so many men, I've had some counseling where the woman, the man was not acting like a husband. He was not treating her with respect. He was not showing honor to her at all. And it was like they just thought the woman was more of a possession than, you know, in a marriage it's supposed to be two who become as one, and you are to love your wife as you love yourself. That's what this giving honor to the wife. And so it goes both ways. A lot of times the men don't know how to act like a man or treat a woman like she should be treated, and that causes a lot of the resentment that the feminists come up with, because too many times they did not meet, you know, men that ever treated women with respect.
So what if a man didn't, what if he didn't treat his wife, didn't honor his wife and treat her with respect?
This is where one of his, especially when this was written to the church, some of the men should have had a talk with him and said, this is not how you treat a woman, how you treat your wife. And
no, what I'm, been, Joe, what I'm, okay, here, what I'm talking about is the last six words in that sentence that you just read, that your prayers not be hindered. Let me read this again.
Right.
Giving honor
so
to the wife as unto the weak.
If you treat your wife like garbage, then your prayers aren't going to be very successful, are they?
Right. So
God's
he's telling you
to your prayers.
That's right. What he's telling you here, that if you don't treat your wife kindly, and if you don't with honor, then God's not going to hear your prayers, and that could put you in a lot of trouble, couldn't it?
A lot of trouble.
Okay.
It's not good to be on the wrong side of God. I can tell you that.
I'm gonna stop right there and pick it up tomorrow in verse 8, suffering for doing good. But right now, I wanted to address what we said earlier. Joe, I can actually say that we have worked as hard as we could possibly, you know, I'm against all kinds of odds to stay on all the stations we're on. And what has happened, you know, in certain areas, maybe the economy's not that good, but we're not getting the support we needed. Now, every now and then, I get letters from people, and they send in a donation, and they'll say, I've been listening to you for years, and I've never sent in a donation, and this is my first, and I'll send in more. And sometimes they'll actually say, I'm ashamed that I've been listening to you, and I haven't ever sent in a donation. Well, you know, here's the point. We've done all that we possibly can. When I look at these stations, Denver, Portland, Little Rock, Atlanta, Orlando, Tampa, in all of these stations, Joe, there are really some really good people out there that I've talked to over the telephone or written letters. And like for Denver, for example, in Denver, we have a very few people that actually will support us. But those that do support us with fairly large amounts, and some really good people. I mean, I've got to meet some very good people, and I hate to have to go off, but, you know, they can still listen to us on the wordcleveland.com if they're on the Internet. Here in Portland, the very same thing. We've got a few, I mean, we have people there. One fellow who's just a great guy has to sell all of his businesses because they're burning the city down, okay? And he was telling me how, and yet even doing that, sent very large donations here to keep us on the air. Little Rock, the same thing. We got some really good people in Little Rock who I hear from all the time. Bugs Bunny is one of them out there. And we have Atlanta. Atlanta, we've had just a couple people out there from Atlanta that have. It's Atlanta's probably where we get the least amount of support, one of them. But a couple people have sent in donations of like $1,000 and that to keep us on there. The same thing with, I have people that call on from Orlando and Tampa both, but we don't get enough support to stay on those stations. Now, the deadline is the 25th of this month, the 25th of January. That's it. 20 days from now, 20 days. Joe, if we could have a miracle, in other words, they're going to be watching, Salem's going to be watching to see where the checks come from. if we, for you folks out there in these stations, Denver, Portland, Little Rock, Atlanta, or, you know, Tampa, in these cities, Joe, if everybody in those cities would send, that listen to us, if all the people that listen to us were to send just $5, Joe, we wouldn't have to worry about, getting another dime from them for a year. I mean, because we have a whole lot of listeners. Believe me, we get a lot of mail, but we need to hear from them. So it's up to you, folks. I know it's not going to be the end of the world, but it's ironic, Joe, that in all these years, you've had MoveOn.org, you've had the ACLU, all of these organizations trying to get us off the air. In all these years, I mean, and we've managed to stay on the air. But here now, it's ironic that we're going off for lack of support from the... And, you know, my biggest thing is I hate to disappoint those folks that have been so good to us out there and have supported
us. I agree.
Us.
Well, people, you know, they keep advertising. The only thing free is radio, but that's because of all of the advertisements and commercials that we don't have because sponsors would... we scare sponsors to death because we tell the truth, and the sponsors would flee. We've seen that all through other organizations. They're afraid of the progressive movement, the socialists, the communists, everybody else. So we depend totally on listener support. And the key was a very small percentage of the people donate that keeps us on all of our stations that we're on. And if, you know, a third or a half of the people that listen would just send in a small donation, we would never have any trouble paying the bills. Our big bill in this whole ministry is the radio airtime. And if just, a third to a fifth of the people would send in just a very small donation to the station that they listen to, we would have no problems. But it's always that small percentage that do all the work and what we need for more Christians to carry the load.
Joe, actually, in talk radio like this and programs, ministries like this, an average of 2% of those
2%,
that listen.
2%, okay.
Yeah. And so,
I knew it was pretty low. I just wasn't sure what it was.
Right. Well, the thing of it is the days that we're living in and what we've been bringing to the people is vital nowadays, the information, because they're not going to get it. We're going to talk about some of that, some more of that tonight. But, you know, the irony is here, you know, on stations we were on that were supporting and paying for themselves, we got knocked off by Bloomberg, you know, just bought them out just to get us off the air.
And now radio network.
Yeah, and now, and you know, in the past now, Joe, I want to tell people again this. I want to say we've got 20 days. For you folks out there listening to us, if you could maybe encourage your church, go to your church, ask your church, probably a lot of other listeners in your church listen to us than you are friends. It's going to be, we really have to have like a miracle, but it can be done if we get a lot of checks coming in from Denver, Portland, Little Rock, Atlanta, Orlando, or Tampa. Salem does not want to have to take us off those stations. Now, to them, it's a lot. It's going to be a lot of work. At the same time, they've got to cut the bill down. They've got to get, because the bill was growing too big. And so if we could just get out of those stations there, we're going to need to raise maybe about $150,000. That wouldn't be a lot out of those six stations with the people listening to us, okay? If all the people that were listening to us actually donated, that would be 100 times that amount would come in. But anyhow, I'm just saying that could happen. Now, Joe, you've known this too. In times past, when you've gone off a station, you're not going to get back on. Now, I've talked to Salem. We got a different program, and they're telling me, look, if you go off maybe in 60, 90 days, six months, whatever. If you get caught up on that station, if you get caught up, we'll put you back in your slot. Now, that's hardly ever happened before, but Joe, they said they would do it.
I don't think it's ever happened.
Yeah, but they said they would do it. And they've always done what they've told me they would do. They've always kept it, kept their promise. And so if they say they could do it, they're going to do it. I trust that they will. Okay.
10:30.
And so, anyhow, with that, we're going to a break. We'll be back right after this.
They hate the whole Christian nation. Want to force our elimination. Made illegal our way of life. Perverted the meaning of man and wife. Now cry for us to preach.
The gospel's preached throughout the land.
Both the heathen don't understand.
Christian people. Christian life. It's Christ to live. It's Christ to die.
By the sea, restore our nation.
They can steal our salvation.
We'll tell the truth, we won't lie.
Christian people. Christian life. It's Christ to live. It's Christ to die.
In the end, they will learn
to repent or they will burn. They will burn. They will burn. Boy, it's been so long since we played that song. I almost forgot all about it. I wrote that song, and Joe. And that was SD Christmas is going home to be with Lord Brian Park and yours truly. Anyhow,
I already said that if you want to sound good, sing with an angel, and SD sung like an angel.
Yeah, she did, and she's in the choir up there now. Listen, let's give the address of the church. I wanted to say this very quickly. Folks, those six stations we named, there's other stations that are right on the line, right on the line. So whatever station you're listening to us out there on tonight, we really need your help now. We've been, for 50 years, we've been fighting the good fight. We've never, ever backed down, not once, not in 50 years. And like some do, and that's what that whole mess about in the Congress today is all about. We'll talk about that in a minute. But, Joe, give them the address. Folks out there, we need to hear from you. You folks especially, you've got 20 days. If you respond, we can stay on your station. We really want it. Others, you're right on the line.
All right. The address is WRWL Ministries, 14781. It's 14781 Sperry Road, Sperry, Sperry Road, Newberry, Newbury, Ohio, 4-4-0-6-5. That number one more time is WRWL, that'll do it, Unad Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road in Newberry, Newbury, Ohio, 44065. If you happen to be driving down the road, can't get that written down, just remember, go to the website, wrwl.org, real easy. That's wrwl.org, and all that information will be right there for you.
And tell them, too, that they need to get the newsletter. We send out, we really put out a lot of good information in that newsletter, and so it's free. It doesn't cost you anything. We're doing it for the cause of Christ, trying to save our country. We really, again, we work very, very hard here. We don't take a pay. We do it because it's the right thing to do, and so... in fact, over the years, Joe, if we go back and look at some of the things way back over the years here in this ministry, starting all the way back in the very early 70s, we were the ones that sounded the alarm across the country about the public school system, about the cultural Marxism you were talking about, and telling people way back then to remember the criticism, and the criticism... We came after not just from the mainstream media, but we got it from the neo-evangelical church. The neo-evangelical church were out there telling us you shouldn't listen to them. They're radical. When we were telling people, if you love your kids, get them out of the public school, put them in homeschool them, or put them in a Christian school. But now they're not doing that now, are they, Joe?
No, they're not.
And what about back in the early days, too? Here in Ohio, Joe, especially, the Christians, the pro-lifers, when we were out at those bloody abortion mills, there was a lot of persecution. Christians were treated like less than people. I mean,
they were beaten. They were spit on. They were pushed around by the cops. They were, wanted to be arrested, and the handcuffs would be so tight it shut off blood, and people got bruised and hurt and were falsely arrested, falsely accused, and it was a very, very terrible time.
They were fondling the women,
the church,
fondling the women and other things, and taking bribes. So we went after them. We outed them. We put their names, the dirty cops, we put their names and badge numbers on the air, the precinct, even put phone numbers out where you could call them. And not just them, not just, but the prosecutors and the judges that were dirty. We put it out. We went right after them. No. And that soon, all of a sudden, when that we started doing that, the treatment of our people, they stopped treating our people like dogs. Okay, that they started backing up because they knew that they were going to get outed. And then Lawyers for Life would go in and they would sue them. And so because of this radio ministry, up until that and here in Ohio, now even when, remember the nightmare in Pittsburgh, we really went after them the night when they took those Christian ladies and sexually molested them there and abused them in Pittsburgh. We went after those, and we outed them. And so when we started doing it, others around the country saw that you could do it. You know, this is what Donald Trump showed the Republican Party. They could win if they would stand and fight, if they would get some backbone and stand and fight, didn't he?
He sure did, and... I don't know why, how everybody seemed to have lost that message, but while everybody was believing that they could win, they did win. It's amazing when you it's attitude, belief, and if you have a leader, that's what a leader does, is he encourages the people to take action and do what needs to be done, and that's what we've been sorely lacking in the Republican Party is good leadership, and that's why the fight right now over Speaker of the House is because we haven't had good, strong, dependable leadership. We've had too many, like our senator, the man that heads the Senate.
Mitch McConnell, yeah. He's a rhino.
He's been a rhino, and he's helped destroy the Republican Party. People have lost
faith
because of him.
Well, this is what's happened to Kevin McCarthy, too. is, again, he has given in before. He's, you know, he's, you know, again, time and time again, he's given in to the opposition. And so what's happening now out there? I've got an article here in front of me, this article by Jim Hoft. Jim, he gets it. I was listening to Hannity. I was listening to these people, even on Salem here. They don't get it. They don't understand what these 20 are about. These 20 are saying, enough, we've had it, no more. We're tired. We're so tired. We're so fed up of being betrayed. We're right. just so tired and fed up of being betrayed. We're not going to put up with it anymore. Now, you see, here's what they learn. You see, they learned and they looked over and they watched the Democratic Party. They watched Alexandria Cortez. And, yeah, and a squat. Those five heathen women, and I mean five ungodly, wicked, I mean wicked and unclean women, they watched them go out and they watched them intimidate, you know, Joe Obama, Biden. They really went after Joe Obama and Bernie, crazy Bernie Sanders. That's Bernie, not Ernie, okay? And anyhow, they watched what those five nasty women could do. And so they said, you know what? If they can do it, we can do it, okay? What they did for evil, and I'm fed up. I've been just fed up with being betrayed by rhinos. And so here's what Jim Hoft says. Ready? He said, Representative Mike Rogers, Alabama, is the ranking member of the House Armed Services Committee. He has been in Congress since 2003, but is not well known to the conservative base. Rogers is a party man. He's threatened conservatives, 20 lawmakers, if they don't vote for McCarthy, then they're going to be stripped from committees and primaried from office. So on Tuesday, Trump endorsed Kevin McCarthy, failed three times to win the vote for U.S. Speaker of the House. It was the first time. But here's the thing, Joe. Here's the thing. Remember, he even turned on Trump. Remember, he turned on Trump and he said that he would tell Trump maybe he should resign. Mm-hmm. And see, Trump doesn't seem to learn.
I don't
know
why Trump, you know, supported him. I don't get that. That must be something that I don't know anything about.
Well, he's trying to save.
Upset with that.
Well, he's probably told Trump, listen, if you support me, believe me, this time for sure, I'll stay conservative. I won't rhino out on you anymore. I won't do it. I won't bend and break. I'll stand.
Yeah, I don't believe it. I'm sorry, well, Trump does, but I don't.
Well, here, you know, and the same thing, I don't watch Hannity anymore. You know, Hannity, he's gone when he was supporting, you know, had Trump, did all this stuff with Trump. Now, you and I know that there's nothing but evidence, and we're going to, and it's all coming out now. And now even Hannity is bringing out some of the evidence about how the election was stolen, and yet when Hannity was put under oath, he said, I never believed the election was stolen. And yet, what's he doing now? He's bringing all this stuff out, and that's why I don't trust him, I don't trust Brett Baer, I don't trust Neil Cabuto, Sandra Smith, any of those people because of what they...
But see, there was a big lawsuit against Fox, and there was a lot of what you call CYA going on. People's jobs, money was at stake. So under oath in a lawsuit, they had to say the right thing to protect against the lawsuit. Again, the truth be darned, and do what you have to make sure your big paycheck comes in.
So here now, from what I understand, they have got a system set in there that if McCarthy fails to keep any of what he promises to do, opening these investigations into the FBI, opening an investigation into Hunter, you know, Biden. You see, this is where he hasn't been real aggressive. Now, if he fails to do any of this, it takes five congressmen to vote to have him removed, and he's agreed to that.
He hasn't agreed to that yet. That's one reason they're not voting for him. He has not given them that power.
Well, according to Hannity, he has. So,
that must have been a change tonight, because last I saw this afternoon, that was still one of the bones of contention.
Yeah. Okay. So, anyhow, if he agrees to that, and they get that in writing, would you say go ahead and then vote for him then?
I still would rather see Jim Jordan or that, what's the other guy, that black gentleman.
Yeah, well, Jordan doesn't want it. I would like to see Matt Gaetz.
Hey, George Washington didn't want the job either, but he was the best man that got talked into it. So sometimes it's not the person that wants the job that should have it.
Yeah. Well, you know, that little Bobrit woman there from Colorado, she has more backbone than most of those men in the Congress there.
Right.
What's her name, Bobrit?
I wish I could think of that one gentleman's name. He's good. I like him, that black man. He is so articulate. He's conservative. He's Christian. He's right to the point. He answers questions clearly, succinctly, right on target. And I can't think of his name to tell people, but the one they put him up today for nomination, he would, I think, make a great speaker.
Yeah, well, he
he's
would
someone
be one
you could be proud of to say, here's our speaker for the Republican Party, the Speaker of the House, and you could say it with pride.
Well, who you're talking about is Byron Donalds.
Thank you. Byron Donalds. Yeah, I just could not think of that name for a minute.
Okay. A number of them out there would be good to do that. I could say Chip Roy would be a good one. I would say...
He's a real good man.
Matt Gaetz has been, you know, he has stood his ground. Remember they brought all those false attacks on him, you know, and he didn't back down. He stood his ground. And praise the good Lord, they had to drop it because there was nothing there, but they were bringing
like
false
Russia,
attacks.
Russia, 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 Russia collusion, and they tried the same thing with Gaetz, only to his ground, and they couldn't prove anything because it wasn't true.
Yeah, Andy Biggs is a good one too. Andy Biggs, Chip Roy, Matt Gaetz, those guys would all be good guys. I would say you would be able to vote for.
Yes.
And so
McCarthy, not so much. I guess it wouldn't be the worst choice we could make, but he's certainly nowhere in the top 10 best choices we could make. He's a good fundraiser, but I want somebody that's got principle, that has some fortitude, courage, and wants to roll up his sleeves and run to the battle and start, you know, because it's going to be a fight. We need a fighter, not an appeaser.
That's exactly right. So you're not hearing, and the way you're hearing on the news, and especially the only one that really got it right was Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson was right on. He's one of the very few that you see that is on Fox News that is totally no compromise. But I've lost, you know, I don't listen to Sean Hannity anymore. He's, you know, when he did that under oath, when he said he never believed from the beginning, that was a complete turnaround. So that told me that the pressure was put on him and he buckled. And I just can't handle that. You know, we've 50 years and we've had pressure, a lot of pressure put on us many times, and we've never buckled, okay? And so,
well, you know, you and I years ago brought up two or three big stories in history. We were talking about appeasement. When did it work? There was the Ethelred, the unready king of England back in 978 A.D., and he capitulated and made deals with the Vikings, and by taxing the people, paying enormous amounts of money to get them to stop pillaging. Well, it worked for a little while. Then they'd come back and pillage again, and they wanted more, and he'd have to up it. And pretty soon these raids became so brutal, they repeat, and he kept upping the ante until finally the Danes, led by Sven the Forkbeard, took over in 1013. It took a violent fight to stop it. Appeasement didn't work. With Neville Chamberlain's appeasement policy with Nazi Germany, it was a terrible failure. We just went down the law. Those are just a couple things from history. There's a long list, and we've talked about several of them. And appeasement has never worked in history. Why do you think it's going to work today, Kevin McCarthy?
Well, you see, that's just it. No. So now McCarthy said, you know, basically he's saying, look, you know, you put me there and I'll no more appeasement. I won't appeasement. You know, I was watching. It was funny because I was watching there. They were sitting on Congress and I watched Nancy Pelosi with that wicked old woman. Oh, she was sitting there and you ought to see the look on her face. I thought it was going to fall off. Boy, there's a lot of stuff coming out on her. In fact, I've got a clip I may play tomorrow night on her. But in fact, we got some articles. But they were heckling each other. They were heckling each other, and the one woman made the one Republican woman when she was speaking made. She talked about bringing in popcorn and. The alcohol is over there, and yeah. Did you see that?
They were trying to make a spectacle. We're just watching, but this is a real democratic process. There's real debate. People are standing for principle. I'm proud of these 20 people that are standing up.
I am too.
Following what the founding fathers talked about.
Absolutely, and you know, remember again on January 6th there. Mike Pence buckled. He knew, and he knew he had what he was supposed to have done and said, look, you had 100 congressmen standing right there with holding in their hands, and from your state, you had your Senator Josh Hawley holding the information saying, here, right here, we have proof right here that you need to look at. This is actual proof, but he didn't. Mike buckled when the time came, when the test came, he failed. He buckled. And this is what they're afraid. McCarthy is too much like Paul Ryan.
Right, this is, way too much.
Yeah. And so, but if he agrees to that, all it takes is five congressmen, and if he does not keep his promise and pursuit, and really pursue... then do you think now after what has taken, what he's had to go through, that he would like to prove that, show those 20 congresspeople to prove them wrong by going really hardcore, all conservative, trying to do the right thing?
You'd like to think, but call me Doubting Thomas this time. I'm sorry. You look at his track record, and I see nothing there that tells me the leopard's going to change his spots.
And so I would probably say on all the stations, on all the different programs that are on, and I'm even talking about conservative programs, very few would agree with you and I, okay? The vast majority of them are not all in. They're not all the way
in. They're backing McCarthy. They're going to want everybody to capitulate and back him up and... Let's, you know, get on without the messy, you know, messy business. And it just do it the easy way, and people will forget all about it shortly. Well, some of us, I'm sitting here looking at stacks of paperwork of stories that you and I did on the radio, facts, truth that we told people when the world was lying to them, the big thing was when the media would lie by omission, would not do stories. We would put stories out, tell people the truth, going back for many, many years. And it's amazing to me when I looked over it this afternoon, the truths that we broke that the media mostly lied by omission. You know, it wasn't until we had the big tech that they had all the knocking people off Facebook and Twitter and FBI and CIA coming in and, you know, having this government control thought and speech. Before, the liberals did it by just omission, like the Hunter Biden story. They just didn't do the story. They didn't lie, but they lied by omission because they knew there was a story they didn't cover. That's one of the best examples, but it goes way back into the 60s and 70s, the stories they, lies they told and stories they didn't cover.
Well, absolutely, and we brought so much of that out. As, for example, you know, here all of a sudden this week, Mr. Ehrlich has been back in the news, and we were back all the way back in the early 70s. We were exposing that guy. We were telling people, this guy's as phony gets. And we even brought in real scientists, put him on the radio program and to expose him. And everything we said proved to be right, okay? And it's the same thing,
exactly. Jim. Even years later, we did things like we did a story back in the early 2000s. Do you know why Earth Day is April 22nd? And most people, if you ask, well, it's a, you know, save the planet. No.
It's a birthday.
It was the birthday of Vladimir Lenin, founder of the Soviet Union, and they called it Earth Day. And the left's green agenda will dismantle America and the free world, that this was the first nationwide Earth Day was held 22 April 1970, the 100th anniversary of the birth of Lenin, of all crazy things. And it was, the teach-in was sponsored by a Democratic Senator Gaylord Nelson of Wisconsin and college professor Paul Ehrlich.
Oh, yeah.
He is the one who helped start Earth Day to honor what? Communism.
Yep. Absolutely.
And we told that, and we've been telling that, and people thought, oh, it can't be. But, yeah, that's what Earth Day was, to celebrate communism and the 100th birthday of Vladimir Lenin. That is the real truth. And I'll bet if you go to your colleges and universities and you were to go around and ask the students, I'll bet you couldn't get 1% to have any idea of who started Earth Day here and why and what it, you know, what it was for.
We were the first ones to that I know of on radio to bring out the fact that the Pentagon, or the DOD, Department of Defense, the Department of Defense, with our drag queens, Austin and Smiley there, Millie.
Millie,
We were the first ones to tell people that they were behind this whole thing. The big pharma, Pfizer and all of them, they were literally taking their orders from the Department of Defense as a part of this depopulating our country. We were the first ones to tell people that, and it's coming out now. In fact, Joe, when we come back, we're going to play a little clip all about that. So that what we told, we were the first ones to do that several weeks ago. So get ready, and we've got a lot of stuff yet to cover. I mean, a whole lot tonight. So,
folks, do we?
Yeah. All righty, we will be back right after this with a whole lot more. So do not go away. More to come.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.